just wait. Just wait until it's harvest time, and then we'll take the weeds out. We'll be able to distinguish clearly from them, and the weeds will be burned, and then we'll have the harvest. That's what it's all about. Now, most of the time when we come to parables, we have a tendency to allegorize too much. But in this case, Jesus tells us exactly what this parable means as he gets together with his disciples, and they want to know the meaning of those things. And he tells us that the field is the world, and the Son of Man has gone out planting the seed. You can see, just like in the sower, he's planting the seed of the good word of God. There's only one kingdom in the world, and that's God's kingdom, right? But there seems to be this anti-kingdom, this personality, this evil adversary, as we call the devil, and his influence has spread false seeds, false gospels, false rumors, false. In other words, just think the word false, destruction. And it's grown out there alongside of the kingdom people. And what's going to happen is the end of the world is going to happen, and people are going to remain together here where both seeds have been planted. But when the end of the world comes, here go the angels out. They'll be gathering in the weeds, casting it into the outer darkness, burning, and the wheat will be gathered into the barns, which are the good people who have followed God's word diligently all the way to the end. Now, this is not just about kingdom. This is about judgment. And Jesus is not just talking about wheat fields here. He's using that to illustrate to you and me that the kingdom has people in it who've heard the word, but not everyone is in this kingdom. In fact, he wants us to consider, I think the fact that he's saying this to disciples is to say, are you really genuine? Are you truly authentic? Or are you one of those fake and false people that are not reliable? Time will tell. Well, I want to get back to this title that I've encaptured on this, because I think weeds are very dangerous to farmers, aren't they? Farmers go out of their way to eradicate them. Now, I don't know much about farming, but I know that the word herbicide means you get rid of weeds. And there's probably all kinds of techniques that farmers could talk about. But Jesus is wanting to make a point here, is that many people, by their attitudes and their reception of the kingdom, are essentially weeds. And he wants every one of us to consider the possibility that weeds exist. Now, on that list that I talked about, the most dangerous people in church are the weedy people. And it's very hard to distinguish those people. And maybe your list would be different than mine. But of all the people in the church that I'm able to judge, because Jesus says don't judge other people, the list would have to have my name there, because that's the one that I can work with. God knows my heart. I know my heart. So is that your list? That's the list that God and I have to work on. Now, I may have some inclinations of some weedy people, but God says, wait a minute. See the parable? Wait a minute. Don't be judging. Be careful. Don't uproot the people in the kingdom that look like they're weedy. We would probably have a list of people that have disagreements with us, or people that interpret things theologically from us, but that's not the case at all, is it? I don't think so. Jesus is talking about something so much more fundamentally about that. What we want to look at is, first of all, in the beginning of this parable, weeds and good seed, the wheat, seem to look alike. Secondly, in time, they begin to distinguish themselves. And thirdly, on judgment day, the Lord himself will make it plain. He's the one that will be able to differentiate, will he not? So today I'm saying what Jesus has said. There are tares, fakes, among us. Do you believe that? And that's a danger. It's a danger. The person that I'm dealing with, the most dangerous, is dangerous to my family. I'm dangerous to the church. I'm dangerous to my community if I am not authentic in my faith. Now, I want you to look at yourself with that same scrutiny that Jesus asked us to look at. In the same way that Richard could either be a blessing or could be dangerous, so can we. It all depends on what our attitude is about Jesus. And I want to make several points here this morning about the way weeds work, because this is really about weeds more than anything. He's asking us to examine ourselves. First of all, weeds don't have the fruit of Christian reality. You believe that? John Oglesby, who is one of my favorite preachers, tells a story about a Presbyterian guy who talked about getting converted. And the Presbyterian guy kept saying, "You know, I have found the Lord the first time in my life." And he said, "You know, I took offense at this. He's been coming to church for years. He was part of the heritage. He knew the creeds. But somehow he had found the Lord, and he said he had become a living reality in his life. He had become just a Christian." Now, what Lloyd was saying about the Presbyterian church could be said about any denomination, couldn't it? And the only denomination I've got to work with is this one right here, or this church right here. How many times have we said, "You know, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I got baptized. I'm taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week." And maybe we're claiming to do that. But you know, this parable is telling me that sometimes the greatest field to consider is the field in our church. And if we examine our own hearts, it's possible that we don't have the living reality, just like that man say. And we simply say, "You know, I've done the things of being a Christian, but I'm not really excited about it. I'm not joyous. I don't have the living proof of Christ living in me." It kind of goes along with what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Or Acts chapter 8, we see a story where this magician, this Simon, was able to look at the apostles and the miracles that they did, and he desired that. And he wanted that so much that it was evident that in his own life, he wanted this more than anything else. And so Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you. You can't buy what the Holy Spirit offers." And I'm wondering how many scribes and Pharisees that had great religion and great connections with the religious establishment, yet Jesus said were in need of being born again. And I'm telling you, if we look at that list, my list, your list, of the dangerous people, it is a dangerous thing to be living with a form of religion but not having that inner reality of knowing Jesus Christ. Remember, in the beginning, the weeds and the wheat look alike, indistinguishable. So you may say, "Well, yes, I've been baptized. I go to church." But the living reality isn't just about worshiping for 1 hour or maybe an hour and 15 minutes sometimes, if we go over, versus the whole of life, where you see your life as devoted to God, and it becomes increasingly clear the longer that you are in the kingdom, unless your attitude changes, the weeds are a danger. You are a danger to yourself in eternity. You are a danger to your family. You're a danger in your church. And you're a danger because you resemble the goodness of going through the form, but the reality is not there. Is that you? The second thing we want to notice that Jesus is pointing out is that weeds have the unpleasantness of stealing strength. Isn't that what weeds do? It just kind of take the strength from the genuine Christians? Or to put this another way, God's work always causes some opposition and resentment. Do you believe that? How could that possibly happen? Well, it happens, doesn't it? You know, early in the Bible, we're told when God made everything, there happened to be this terrible snake that came in and created some doubts. And what did he say? He said, "Hey, you're kind of stuck here, aren't you? But don't eat of that tree, because God said if you eat of that tree..." Well, wait a minute. Wait, you say you'll die? If you eat of that tree, you'll become like God. Wasn't that it? They wanted to rebel. They wanted to become like God. And so the problem has always been down through time of people rebelling, not wanting to do God's work in God's way, listening to God, but then deciding to do their own thing. Isn't that true? And so we have to rely upon our own strength, our own wisdom, our own plan of action. We may be saying, "Yes, Lord," but we're off doing something else. Now, there's a lot of people, even in the church, that say, "You know, I'm going to play the devil's advocate." Now, what does that mean? That means I'm thinking negatively, or maybe even I'm thinking on behalf of the devil. I'm thinking as an opponent. But you know, the devil has a lot of advocates in this world, and he has too many. Sometimes we see this happening, And we wonder what causes someone to have such jealousy or such rancor toward others. Maybe you've seen this at work. Maybe someone is working hard and they're beginning to advance. And yet some people maybe look at this person because they are complacent. They haven't advanced. And they begin to look down on that other person. Have you ever noticed that? Or maybe it's in school or maybe it's in some position. And so people learn to have jealousy. And they begin to display characteristics and say, well, why didn't this happen to me? I've even known this among preachers. Preachers that want to go to a bigger church, maybe they look at it as better, it's paying more, it's better opportunity. Why didn't this happen to me? Why did I get stuck? Some little place like Manchester or some little chase like this. Now, you know, that's the way preachers sometimes think. But God has a way of bringing out where we should be and what we should be doing, doesn't he? And if we are blessed with talents, then we have the attitude that God is going to multiply those talents. That'll be a lesson we'll look at in the very near future. The talents are to be multiplied, are to be used as a blessing. Or you look at God's blessing of others and say, well, why didn't that happen to me? Why me? Why did this happen? And so you begin to develop that mentality that shows that you're, well, how should we put it? You're going to seed. And by that, we mean bad seed, right? And that happens to people. When you look in the Bible, you find that there are people that actually are going that way. And I'm thinking of 1 Peter. How many times had he stumbled and fall? But in the Bible, in the book of Galatians, you find that someone like Paul had to reprove Peter because Peter was going down the wrong path. He had preached a gospel that says everybody's welcome and it doesn't make a difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. And then he got all this pressure around him, all the Jewish pressure, and he started shrinking back, and he wouldn't have anything to do with the Gentiles. And Paul said, this is not right, Peter. You're heading down the wrong path. Sometimes people head down the wrong path. Sometimes radical groups in the New Testament believe that slavery was all right. Or they believe that Gentile groups shouldn't come in the church unless they were first circumcised and keep the law. There are many people that have wrong attitudes, but when Jesus Christ comes into a person's life, they can no longer have the weedy thinking. Weedy thinking is saying yes to the Lord with our lips, but in our hearts deciding we're going to go our own way, by our own strength. And so many times those people had to learn to be led by the Lord, that all are welcome. Paul writing a book like Philippians are letting us know that weedy thinking is dangerous. And if we're determined that we're going to live by our own power and our own might, guess what? Your family's going to notice it. If you claim to be a Christian, but you're not following the Lord and His power, they will see that, and you will be dangerous not only to yourself, but you will be dangerous to your family. Your wife or your husband will know. Your children will know. They will know that you claim to follow the Savior, but the power and strength of relying upon the Lord, the strength of change that should be going on in a Christian, that should be adding and developing and growing, won't be there. Now, thirdly, weeds need to be eradicated, don't they? They need to be uprooted. And that's what the servant said. You want us to go out and uproot them? And that's what I want to say. Let's uproot the roots, the bad seed. But you know, Jesus said on some occasions when the disciples were worried about the Pharisees, let them alone. They are blind guides, right? Let them alone. Have patience. Judgment will come. Now, I think sometimes we have an inkling and we have a way of judging that people are weeds. And remember, the top of the list who we're going to deal with. So we need to be very careful we're not judging. But I think sometimes we can see the evidence because Jesus said, by their fruits, you know them. And sometimes you can see people and they have that weedy type of thinking that sometimes you just have to ignore them. I remember a guy when I was in the ministry in Peoria, Illinois, and I won't even tell you his name because it might have a name similar to someone here. But every time he went to church, he never went in the assembly. I never knew him to say anything good about the elders. Always, you know, not. Maybe you don't agree with the elders on everything. But this guy never had anything good to say about it. And he could talk on and on. He would talk to you night and day about the bad things about the church and kept thinking that maybe we'll move over and start a church. And there's several of us that are going to move out and start a church. Well, you know, he kept talking. And I thought, well, you know, sometimes I wish he'd just go. And one day the Lord led me to believe that the way to deal with him is to invite him to do something positive. Because all I was hearing is something that was negative, filled with rancor. What the elders are not doing, what the church is not doing, what we ought to be doing. And so I had this Bible study that was going on when one of our members went down to a retirement village. And those people at the retirement, they didn't care how long a preacher preached. So I just go down there and preach my heart out sometime for an hour, hour and a half, you know, just really get with it. And so I'd call this brother up, whose name I'm not going to mention. I'd say, now, they need a good song leader. Would you go with me? Or if you can't lead singing, would you like to go pray? Well, no, I can't today. I said, well, good. I'm going to call you next Sunday. I learned very quickly that when he would not go with me, he ceased to talk with rancor, and because it was revealing what kind of attitude he had. Now, I believe that there's people like that. I even knew one time. Now, I like that song we sang this morning. Which one is it? The song, which one is the clapping song? Oh, I love that. I will call upon the Lord. But you know, we had some families in Virginia that didn't like clapping. They didn't like that at all. And you know, the Bible talks about clapping to the Lord and raising praise and adoration to the Lord. And it just seemed incredible that that should be such an issue. But all of our elders examined the situation, read the Bible, prayed about it, and then wrote a letter to everybody and said, we don't see anything against this at all. We're not going to encourage people. We're not going to discourage them. But if you have a song and you want to clap and praise the Lord, do it in the way that you think is appropriate. You know, there was a brother that used to get up before the podium and pray, and he would pray with anger, and he would say, Lord, help the elders see the arrows of their way. And I mean, it was filled with rancor, and I thought to myself, this man needs to be taken up, and he needs to be rooted out. And then I'm looking at this parable, and I'm thinking, the Lord says, let him alone. Just let him be, and the Lord will take care of it. But you know, this man had a family. This man had a dear wife and a dear son. And I happen to know his son didn't agree with his dad, but what his dad was doing was dangerous. Do you see that? It was dangerous to his family, and it was dangerous to his wife, and it was really dangerous to the church community. Now, eventually, he moved on somewhere else. And I think we could do that. I'm not saying that people that disagree or have a different interpretation don't have that right, but we have to be very careful that we're not showing the thinking of being weeds, believing that it is our own might and our own direction that we are following. And I think sometimes when we have those attitudes, even though we might disagree, it might be that we just need to say, well, you know, there's some things I don't agree with. Some people can't get excited about a ministry of the church because they're not involved in it. If we start a Celebrate Recovery program, probably not everybody's going to say, well, you know, I'm all for that. But if you get involved with it in something, there might be something you disagree with, but can you encourage those that are serving all the while refraining from the weedy thinking that says, I'm just going to oppose this every step of the way? Upwards basketball probably has a few kinks in it that hasn't been exactly right, but I'll tell you, I love Lori and Lanny for doing that program and involving people, right? So we need to support those kind of efforts. We may disagree on some things. We may say, well, this is not a program here. This is something we might want to do. But so many times people, if they don't get their way in their church, it's their way or the highway. And I'm thinking that so many times the weeds, take a look at the list. Who's the most dangerous? We need to ask ourselves that question. Are we serving the Lord and His kingdom? Are we filling our lives and our family and our church with rancor? You see, that's what Jesus is talking about here. And it sometimes becomes so evident when people do not possess the fruits of the Spirit, but rather are given to malice and slander and other things and can't seem to be turned around. Now, the last thing that I want to mention here is that weeds will eventually be judged. And they will be burned. That doesn't give the Lord any pleasure, does it? I don't know that a farmer wants to really spend all of his time and labor pulling up weeds and burning them. But the Lord's talking about people here, not weeds. The Lord doesn't want any to perish. The Bible tells us the Lord's not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering toward all. He's reaching out to us. But just because we say, Lord, Lord, is not the relationship He wants. He wants us to receive Him and then to walk with Him and to walk in community with fellow believers. But if we continue to show evidence that we are truly of the weeds, in the beginning we will look like a Christian. But in time, we will differentiate ourselves. In time, it will be clear that the weeds among us, that we're not Christian. Maybe it's because we have the form of godliness, but not the power. Or maybe it's because we're filled with the disposition of the weeds. We're going to have our own way. But eventually, in the end, we will be judged because we have not truly followed Jesus as Lord in our life. Now, the good news is that Jesus is telling this story to people who can change. He's telling it to Peter, James, John, his most intimate disciples. You don't have to be this way. You don't have to betray your Lord. You don't have to demand that the kingdom be your kingdom. But if you insist on doing that, the Lord will say, yes, you can do that. And yes, you can be lost for all time and eternity. But here's the thing that I want you to think about. You don't have to be lost. And you don't have to be dangerous for yourself, for your family, your church, and your community. Because you see, if you receive the Lord in truth in your heart, you will then be a blessing. And instead of being dangerous, you will be a blessing to yourself. You will be a blessing to your family. Kind of like that illustration I mentioned about that Toyota anti-skid system that I kind of wrote about in the sermon preview. It works. It really works. We had that snow day out here, and man, that thing started taking over and giving me that control. Sometimes Christianity needs to be like that. It just needs to be going all the time. It needs to be working in our lives. And then we will see remarkable progress in our attitude. The Lord will bless us in ways that cause us the growth that is absolutely necessary. A lesson that we'll look at later. Then we will not be a dangerous person in God's kingdom. We will be among the blessed people that bless ourselves, our family, our church, and others. What are you? That's what Jesus said. Are you genuine? Are you authentic? Are you like that man that simply says, I found a joy in the Lord that I've not known before? That can be you. Will it be you? Will you respond to the Lord's invitation? Let's stand and sing.